Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for that reading that we have just had, and we see you at work there, a way back even, in the beginning, near the beginning of time. And Lord, we thank you that you are still the same God who is at work in the world today. And Lord, we praise you that we can worship you here this morning, and we pray that you will bless each one of us and draw each one of us closer to yourself so that we may know your presence and your love and peace in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to see some boys and girls here this morning, and you know what day it is, don't you? David said so at the beginning. What day is it?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, yes, or it's Mothering Sunday. And what did you do special today that you wouldn't do any other day? Did you do anything special today for your mums, did you?
Well, this morning at our house, we opened our mum opened some presents that we made for her.
Really? Your mum opened some presents that you had made for her. And what were those presents?
Well, we had a big family card for her, and we also made our own little cards as well.
Isn't that lovely? Yeah, very good. That was very thoughtful. Anybody else do anything special for their mums this morning? What about breakfast in bed? Anything like that? No, no. That's going a bit too far, isn't it? Nobody else? Okay, well, it's a time when we think about mums, isn't it? And as David said, it goes back a long way. And it was a time when children had to work in big houses, and they were only given one day off in the week. In the week? One day off in the year. And that was for them to go home and visit their families and to go to the church that they belonged to. And that's why it's called Mothering Sunday, because it's to do with Mother Church as well. And the children, as they travelled home, would pick flowers along the way to give to their mums or to place in the church on that occasion when they would go there for a service. And the girls would bake a simnel cake to bring to their mums, so I believe. Now, it's a very special cake, and I'm not going to get into all the details about the ingredients and so on. Beryl's one who could do that for us. But on the top, those 11 little blobs, or little cakes, represent the 11 disciples. And the cake itself was called a simnel cake. Now, does anybody know why it's called a simnel cake? I'm sure Beryl does. Anybody else? No. Well, the story is told that there was a man called Simon and his wife Nell. And they argued about whether the cake should be boiled or baked. And so they decided to do both. And the cake then was named after both of them, Simon and Nell, Simnel. Well, that's a story anyway. But I think it goes back to the Latin word simla, which means fine barley flour. Fine barley flour, something like that. And that makes a little bit more sense. Okay. Well, today is a day that is kept by a lot of people. And rather than calling it Mothering Sunday, a lot of people just call it Mother's Day, because it's a time when people think about their mothers. And it doesn't just apply to the boys and girls. It applies to adults as well, who have still got mothers alive. And apparently, it's the day in the year when most phone calls are made. People ringing home to express their appreciation to their mothers, and also to wish them a happy Mother's Day. One particular young man wanted to buy something special for his mum, and he decided to go into a pet shop. And imagine going into a pet shop to buy something for mother's on Mother's Day for his mother. Well, he had a look around, and I think he might have had a budgie in mind, but he saw this beautiful yellow bird. Now, who can tell me what a bird like that's called? Anybody know what a bird like that's called? Yeah? Somebody said a cockatoo there. Yes, you haven't answered anything yet. What is it called? Yeah?
A parrot.
A parrot. That's right. It's a parrot. And what do parrots do? They talk, that's right. And there was a label on the cage of this parrot, and it was the price. And the price was £1,000. And he thought, that's a lot of money just for a parrot. And then he saw another label that said, but this bird is unique. This bird can whistle Amazing Grace. And it can also recite the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, and other parts of the scriptures as well. So he thought to himself, that's just the ideal present for my mum, because her eyesight's failing, she can't read the Bible now as much as she would like, and it would be great for her to have a bird like this that could recite the Bible for her. And so he gave it a test. He asked the bird a couple of questions about the New Testament, and the bird got it right straight away. And then he thought, well, my mum likes reading parts of the Old Testament as well. So he thought, well, I'll ask a question about the Old Testament. Can you tell me what Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 says? And straight away the bird said the words that God had said to Ezekiel. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone and put in you a heart of flesh. In other words, he's saying he's going to give them a heart of flesh wherein his spirit could abide. That's what God wanted for the people of Israel. That's what God wants for each one of us today. A heart wherein he can abide, where he can be part of our lives day by day. Okay. He was so impressed with that parrot that he looked at the price tag again and he said, you are cheap even at twice the price. And he went to the cash desk and he paid for the bird and he said to the attendant, can you make sure that this bird is delivered to my mum, to my mother for a Mothering Sunday, as she lives in another part of the country. But he says, I want you to promise that it will be delivered before that date. And so when Mothering Sunday came along, he phoned his mum, and during the conversation he said, Mum, and by the way, Mum, how do you like the bird that I sent you? Oh, she said, Son, it's wonderful. It tasted absolutely delicious. Well, I'm sure none of us are going to get into that kind of dilemma today as we give gifts or presents to our mothers. But mothers are very special people. And Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest presidents that America ever had, said this about mothers. He said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. No man is poor who has a godly mother. And how true these words are, because many people have been blessed as a result of having a Christian mother care for them and bring them up. He said this about his own mother, who died when he was the age of 9. He said, all that I am and all that I hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. His mother, even up until the age of 9, had made a great impact on his life. And his father remarried again, and his stepmother loved Abraham just as much as his own mother did, and guided him and helped him and made him into the type of person that he really was. But here's another man that He looks pretty ancient, doesn't he? Yeah, very old. Goes way back to the 4th and 5th century, and his name is Augustine. But, you know, you may think that I look ancient, don't you? You think David looks ancient? Yeah, you agree? And if you look around the congregation here, you'll think that a lot of these people here look rather ancient, don't they? Well, you better not answer that one. Because we all get older. But when we were young like you, we were just full of life, the same as you are. And this man here, Augustine, was one who was full of life as well. In fact, as he grew into his teenage years, he became a rather wild and rebellious young man. He had a mother called Monica who loved him very much and wanted him to go the right way. But instead, he went the wrong way and did the things that displeased her. He ran away from home. He joined a religious sect that was not in line with his mother's Christian beliefs. And she was worried about him. But for 9 long years, she prayed for him. She prayed that God would touch his life. And she got other people to pray as well. And then one day, back in Milan, northern Italy, something happened. A change took place in Augustine's life. He had a conversion experience. Jesus came into his life and changed his life for him. And from then on, he just wanted to live for him. He later became a bishop and was bishop of Hippo in North Africa. He was bishop, I think, for 34 years. He preached over 500 sermons. Imagine David preaching over 500 sermons. And he wrote 132 books. Many people are blessed through the ministry of this man, all because he had a Christian mother who loved him and never stopped praying for him. It's great to have a mother like that. And that is my mother. And she looks ancient, doesn't she? Yeah, she's old. But she's every right to look old, because in 2.5 weeks' time, she will be 102. That photo was taken just at last Christmas. And every time when we go to see her in Leeds, and whenever I talk to her on the phone, she always assures me that she prays for me every night. My sister has an intercom in her bedroom so that she can hear Mum if she wakes up in the middle of the night, so that she can attend to her. And very often my sister is wakened up with my Mum praying. She prays out loud. She says the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and she says them word perfect. And then she goes on to pray for each member of her family. It's wonderful to have a mother like that. And the Bible tells us a lot about mothers as well. We have this particular mother in the Old Testament called Hannah. After she was married, she didn't have any children, and she prayed to God earnestly that he would send her a son. And she said that if he did give her a son, she would give him back to God to serve him for the rest of his life. And so when little Samuel was born, when he was weaned, and that was when he came to the age of 3 or 5, between 3 and 5, he then was given over to Eli, the old priest in the temple, where he grew up with him and was taught the ways of God. And and Samuel, as we know, became a great prophet in Israel. Another person we read about in the Bible is Timothy. Any Timothys here this morning? No? Any girls called Timothy? No. I didn't think so. Well, we read quite a bit about Timothy because 2 books are named after him in the New Testament. But he was blessed because he too had a Christian mother called Eunice who taught him the scriptures from a very early age. And at an early age, he believed in the Lord Jesus and trusted him as his friend and his savior. And as he grew up, he never lost that faith. And in fact, he accompanied the Apostle Paul on some of his missionary journeys, and so had the opportunity of telling others about Jesus. Timothy was a very devout Christian person. But there's somebody else I want us to talk about this morning, and that is a person that we read about in the passage the children read from the passage. But one thing you may have noticed when they were reading that passage, that it didn't give the name of Moses' mother. And everybody has a name. Can you tell me, boys and girls this morning, what Moses' mother's name was? Anybody any idea what her name was? No? Bit difficult for boys and girls. It's just mentioned once in the Bible. But what about the adults here this morning? You've been coming here for years. You've heard the scriptures being taught. And you will know the name of Moses' mother. Ian, who is a fount of all knowledge, knows this one.
Jochebed, isn't it? Jochebed.
Jochebed. Jochebed. Well done. Did anybody else know that? No? There you are. You've learned something this morning? Huh? Really? We read about it in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20, the only place in the Bible where it's mentioned. But the name really means Jochebed, the Lord is my glory. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? She loved God and lived for him, even though she was a slave in Egypt. She married a man called Amram. They had two children already, Aaron and Miriam. And then there was a third baby on the way. And Pharaoh had made a decree that all the Hebrew boys were to be put to death, because the Hebrew people were growing in number so fast that he was afraid that they would outnumber the Egyptians. And so he wanted all the boys put to death. And so when Moses was born, his mother couldn't part with him. She hid him as long as she could in the house. And then when she could hide him no longer, she then made a basket and out of papyrus grass, lined it with tar and pitch, so that the water wouldn't get in, and then placed it in the river Nile, put the baby into it, and placed it in the river Nile with the hope that somebody would find it. And, of course, Miriam stood at a distance to see what would happen. And it wasn't long before Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the water, and when she saw the basket, she sent one of her servants to fetch it. And when she opened the basket, she found inside a beautiful baby boy. Frightened, he was crying, but she knew straight away that he was one of the Hebrew children. And Miriam, of course, who had been watching from a distance, came right up to the scene there. You can see her. Saying to the princess, "Would you like me to go and get a Hebrew woman to look after the baby for you?" "Oh, yes, please," she said. And so off she went and brought back her own mother, Jochebed, which was Moses' mother. And the princess gave the baby over to Jochebed to care for. And what a wonderful joy that was for her to receive back her own child and to have the opportunity of bringing him up in the faith. And as well as that, the princess told her that you look after him and I'll pay you for doing it. Wonderful to be paid for looking after your own children, isn't it? And he was with his mother Jochebed until he was weaned, about the same age as Samuel was later on. And then the day came when he had to... she had the joy of bringing him up. And those words, therefore, are very important, because they say, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Those are tremendous words, and were applicable then as they are today, because it's still good, sound, Bible-based teaching that we train up children in the right way. And the time came then when the baby was weaned for him to be handed over to the princess to look after him and then to enable him to grow up as a prince in the palace. But the person who painted that picture was very, very clever, because he captured very well the apprehension on the face of Samuel. Now, that was B.C. What does B.C. mean? Before Christ. That's right, and that was before Christ. But it also means before cameras. Before Ian was around with his camera. And they captured that sort of apprehension on the baby's face. Because as the princess reaches out her hand to receive him, he is withdrawing back to his mother again. He wanted to be with his mother and father. But he had to go to live with Pharaoh's family. A man and a woman were married for 2 years. They didn't have any children at that stage. And one day when he came home from work and came through the front door, she said to him, "Darling," she gave him a hug and a kiss, and said, "Darling, I've got some great news for you." "Yes," he said, "what is it?" And he says, "Well, you know the way we have been living here together on our own. Well, that's going to change. We're going to have an addition to the family." "Wow," he said, "that's the best news I've heard for a long time. In fact, it's made me the happiest man in the world." "Well," she says, "I'm glad to hear you say those words, because in 2 weeks' time, my mother is coming to live with us." It's not easy adjusting to somebody else coming to live in the home with us. And it's not easy for the person who goes to live in somebody else's home. And that was certainly the case with Moses. But that was how it had to be. And that was preparation for what Moses was to become later on in life. Because God had his hand upon him even before he was born. God guided him, God protected him, God watched over him, and God was preparing him for the work that he had for him to do. And that work was to lead the children of Israel up out of Egypt to the promised land. He was God's man for that time. And that's why these verses that words I want to finish with are so important. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God had a plan for Moses. And God has a plan for each one of us here this morning. He wants to bless us just in the same way that he blessed Moses. We may not be great leaders like Moses was, but there is a job that he has for each one of us, each boy and girl, each grown up. And so it's important that we are part of that plan. And we can be if we are obedient to him and love him in the way that we should. And the Lord Jesus came into this world to die for us, to take away our sin, to enable us to be the people that God wants us to be. So I pray that you will be open to all that God has in store for you this morning and in the days that lie ahead. Amen.